ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे ओम यस्माज्जातं जगत्सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। कृष्णयजुर्वेदीये तैत्तिरीयोपनिषदि द्वितीयोऽध्याये ब्रह्मानन्दवल्ल्यां अष्टमोनुवाकसम्बन्धि भाष्यपाठः। आचार्य इन् हिस् कमेण्ट्रीस् मेक्स् इट् वेरि क्लियर् देर् ईस् अ वस्तु। वस्तु मीन्स् दाट् विच् अ लोन् ईस् that which is real, that which alone is vastu. Otherwise, the word used is the reality, absolute reality, the ultimate truth. And this absolute reality, ultimate truth is one. When you say one, it is secondless. Second, when you say secondless, it is non-dual. Absolute reality is ekam, advitiyam, advaitam. One, secondless, non-dual. And this reality, when you say vastu, it is there always, without a beginning, without a cause, as an uncaused reality. It is there without an end. Because it is causeless, it exists independently. And why does it exist? Because being existent is equal to existence, is the nature. And this reality, beginningless, endless, changeless, independent, timeless, but also spatially limitless, and is the only truth. Therefore, there's nothing beyond this. It is the ultimate. That is why it's implied by the term Brahman. Because all pervasive, at the same time, it obtains the innermost essence. Therefore, it is Atma, implied by the term Atma. This reality alone is, and this reality, but this reality is endowed with the power, the knowing power. The knowing power remains unmanifested, remains manifested. It remains unmanifested also, it is non-separate from the reality. Because there is knowing power, we acknowledge that knowing power, We recognize that knowing power. Therefore, we say what? Reality, there is knowing power of the reality. Reality and its knowing power, are they two? No, they're not two. The knowing power cannot be by itself. Cannot be by itself. That is why it is also known by the term Maya. The knowing power cannot be by itself. Therefore, it is known by the term Maya. That which is not by itself. That which is really not there separately as knowing power. So what is there is only reality with its knowing power. Therefore, we say reality and its knowing power are not two. Therefore, there's one secondless non-dual reality. Where the power is manifested, the power is unmanifested. It's always non-dual. When the power remains unmanifested, as then the reality remains as the reality. When the power remains, becomes manifested also, reality continues to be non-dual reality. But when the power becomes manifested, even though the reality continues to be non-dual, one secondless non-dual reality, but there seems to be that seems to, it appears as though reality is dual. Reality never is dual. Okay? It's always non-dual. It's manifested or unmanifested. It's always non-dual. But when it's manifestation, there is an appearance of duality. It appears to be dual. Okay, non-dual reality appears to be dual when the power is manifested. But appears to be, but not does not become dual. That dual appearance of duality, being appearance is not real. Non-duality is satyam. Reality being non-dual is satyam. Being dual is only appearance. Finished teaching is over. Okay? Being dual is an appearance. Always it is non-dual. Non-dual. But the appearance is mistaken to be real. Is as though it has become dual. Mistaking the duality to be the reality is the problem. So when there is manifestation of the knowing power, there's knowledge, there's a partial knowledge of the existence of the self and the world. But there's no knowledge of what is the knowledge which has become manifested. There is partial ignorance. It is this partial ignorance which contributes for the notion of one, the self being, the becoming the individual. There rises the notion of the self being an individual. That is how the limitations, attributes, everything becomes superimposed upon the Atma. So when the reality remains with its total power unmanifested as the reality, as one secondless non-dual reality, without any attributes, exactly as we understand in the deep sleep state, that is the real nature. Being non-dual, without any attributes, without any qualifications, without any identity, just being the reality, the self remaining the self, reality remaining as the reality, without any identity, without any qualifications, without any attributes, just being the reality is what the real nature. Real nature, being non-dual, is the real nature. But when the power becomes manifested, then there is appearance of duality. When this appearance of duality, when the non-dual reality appears as the world of duality, I'm not even talking about aham or idam, I'm just talking about this, just reality. When this non-dual reality appears as the world of duality, due to the manifestation of the knowing power, then the attributes are there. There arises the notion of the self being the individual. Thereby, all these attributes are there. What are the attributes? The knower, doer, enjoyer. I am the knower, I am the enjoyer, I am the doer. All these attributes. So all the attributes. So attributes, who is the knower? Who is the doer? Who is the enjoyer? If Atma is not the doer, Atma is free, if the reality is free from attributes. And who is the doer? Who is the knower? Who is the enjoyer? Of course, there cannot be knower, doer, enjoyer without the Atma. Therefore, the standpoint of the attributes, we have to say, of course the knower is Atma, the knower is the reality, the doer is the reality, enjoyer is the reality. But reality is not the doer, knower, enjoyer. So the attributes are there. Attributes, with the attributes, again the same reality alone appears as the world of duality and plurality with a countless number of attributes, obtaining in countless number of forms, being endowed with the countless number of forms, countless number of names, the countless number of attributes, reality alone is. Therefore, being dual and being identified with the forms, being identified with the names, being identified with the functions, being identified with the actions, thereby being identified with the attributes. Being dual is incidental nature of the same reality. Incidental. There is no I, there's no this, there's no universe. Before the manifest, when the power remains unmanifested, there is one secondless non-dual reality in its real nature, without any attributes, without any identity, without any forms, names, functions. When the power becomes manifested, the same reality, same non-dual reality, does not become dual, but appears to be dual, appears to be the world of duality. Being endowed with countless number of forms, countless number of names, countless number of functions, and being identified with actions and attributes, which is the incidental nature. That is why, what is absolute, what is incidental? Being non-dual is absolutely real nature. And being dual is relatively incidental nature. What is there is only Brahma. There's no second thing other than Brahma. This is the fact which has to be arrived at. So here, this what is incidental, the incidental nature is as though. Why we say as though? Because it is non-separate. Same Brahma, same reality is there. It's only appearance. All these forms, names and functions, their actions, the attributes, even the experiences, the pairs of opposites, nothing is separate from that one reality. Nothing is separate from one reality. Therefore, they're all only appearance. Nothing has independent existence here other than the reality, the forms, names and functions, gross or subtle, the actions, attributes, nothing has independent existence of its own. That is why what is incidental nature is not real, because it's not there always. At the same time, it is not unreal also, it is not totally non-existent. It is as though. And that which is as though is mithya. That which is as though real is not non-existent, but as good as non-existent. Because it has no independent existence. Now, tell me, can this reality, let me give the example first. Now, let us understand, remain here. We'll take first example, let me take the water and the ocean, the waves, ocean of waves. So with reference to ocean, we say the reality is water. This is one. The second reality other than the water with reference to ocean. There are countless number of forms in terms of waves, and the words are used as words, waves. Of course, they have their own respective function of moving around. Now, can water destroy the waves? Tell me. Can water do any harm to the waves? With reference to ocean, water is satyam. The waves are mithya. The ocean form is mithya. Can water do any harm to the waves? Can water destroy the waves? No. Does water create the waves? No. Very important lesson. Water does not create the waves. Water cannot destroy the waves. Okay. Now, can waves come into existence by themselves without the water? can waves originate with themselves? No. Can waves destroy themselves? A thing which is not really there cannot create itself, cannot destroy itself. You know why I'm giving all the examples? Because Bhashyam part we are going to read there, Bhagavatpada's words are not explicit. Okay, I'm giving these examples. So, waves cannot destroy themselves, can they? Can wave create itself? No. So waves cannot create themselves. Waves cannot destroy themselves because wave is not even there. Really there. Wave is only as though appearance. Are you all with me? Wave is only as though appearance of the water. And can wave cause any harm or destruction of the water? No. Waves, which are dependent on the water, cannot do any harm to the water, cannot cause destruction of the water. Water cannot destroy itself. Water cannot create itself. Because beginningless reality. Water cannot, does not create the waves. Water cannot destroy the waves also. Why? Waves are the water. Waves are just appearance of the only truth, water. That's why no creation is there. With reference to, there's no creation of waves. There's no destruction of waves. There's only appearance. The appearance happens, again resolves. And the all the substratum is always the water. This is the fact with reference to water. For our understanding. Now, next example. Let's take the rope snake example. There's knowledge of something being there. There is something. But that something which exists is rope. That is not known. Now, because that is not, there is something that half knowledge of the existence of something is. But what is this something which exists is not known. It is then, if what is, there is something, there is no knowledge of something is there, that cannot cause any fear. If there is total ignorance of the rope, existence of the rope, cannot cause any fear. But there is knowledge of the existence of something, but that's that which exists, something which exists is rope, is not known. Therefore, what now? You mistake the rope for a snake. Now, in your perception, there is only snake. Now, let us understand, does rope create a snake? No. Can rope destroy the snake? The snake is not really there. Really, nothing which is not there cannot be created. You can't talk about the creation of the rope, snake, which is not really there. The rope cannot destroy the snake also. Creation of the snake also is not there. Destruction of the snake also is not possible because there's no real snake at all. And the snake which is not really there cannot really be the cause of fear. Non-existent snake, a snake which is really not there, cannot cause the fear. Now, so knowledge of the, in the wake, knowledge of the rope, being a rope also, cannot destroy the snake. isn't it? And then the wake-up knowledge of the rope being the rope, that knowledge does not destroy the snake. Ignorance of the rope being the rope does not create the snake. Knowledge of the rope being the rope cannot destroy the snake. Is it clear? Ignorance of the rope being the rope. Ignorance of the rope does not create the snake. Knowledge of the rope being a rope cannot destroy the snake. So what does the knowledge of the rope being the rope do? When you understand the rope is rope, the wake of knowledge of the rope being the rope, all that the knowledge does is, it shows what is not there. It does not destroy the snake. In the wake of knowledge, you understand what is not there. When the snake being not there is known, the fear results. Understand? In the same way here. What is I? Just manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the reality as the self. And following that knowledge, there's also knowledge of the existence of the world. So therefore, there is knower non-duality. The knower, I, is also manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self. The known is also knowledge of the existence of the same reality. So the manifestations. Only reality. So manifestations of course because of vrittis we understand. So there's only appearance. So the reality cannot destroy, therefore nothing is created here. Nothing is destroyed also here. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. Whenever we talk about any destruction or death, it's only a big change happening on the part of the material forms. So the reality which is absolutely independent is also indestructible. It cannot destroy itself, nor can it destroy its appearance. So the world which is appearance also cannot do any harm to itself. The mithya world of duality cannot do any harm to itself, cannot create itself. The mithya world of duality cannot originate by itself, cannot destroy itself, because it is not really there. And this, which is as good as a snake, which is as good as the form, name and function wave, the whole inexplicably vast universe, which comes under the category of the known, cannot create itself, cannot destroy itself, because it is not really there. So nor can it do any harm to the reality. Just as waves cannot do any harm to the water, snake cannot do any harm to the rope, the world cannot do any harm to the reality. Nor can the reality do any harm to the world, which is not really there. This is the fact. Understand? But it's all now. If at all the snake, there's a fear. The fear is caused. I told you already, ignorance of the rope does not cause fear. Even the snake also does not cause fear. It is the error in the perception of the rope as a snake which causes the fear. It's all in perspective. What causes the fear is neither the rope nor the snake. It is not ignorance of the rope which causes the fear. It is not the non-existent snake which causes the fear. It is the erroneous perception of the rope as a snake which causes the fear. So, error only needs correction. For correction of the error, we need only knowledge. No effort is required. No action is required. No action is required. Therefore, all that we need is only jnanam. In the same way here, the world of duality, which is not really there, which is as the appearance of the non-dual reality, does not cause fear, is not responsible for samsara. It is not even there. How can it cause any fear of samsara? It is not the perception of duality which causes the fear of samsara. It is not even the ignorance which causes the fear of samsara. It is the erroneous perception of the duality to be the reality which causes the fear of samsara. It's all error in the perception. All that we need is correction of the error in the perception of duality. We have to see the reality being non-dual in its manifestation, in its remaining unmanifested also. In it, with its power manifested or its power unmanifested, reality is always non-dual. But that appearance, it appears to be real. When the duality is mistaken to be the reality, then it becomes a source of fear. That is why only correction, the perception needs correction. For correcting the perception, we need the vision of the reality being always non-dual. Only knowledge is required. Knowledge need not be, cannot be combined with any action or effort for attaining freedom from fear of death or freedom from samsara. Understand? Mokshaha needs only jnanam, jnanam, jnanam. No other effort. But for this jnanam, we need what? Attention of the mind must be totally available. Attention of the mind must be totally available. But it is not easy to have the total attention of the mind. Therefore, gradually to collect the attention, the scattered attention, to collect it, to bring it totally. Initially, Shastram prescribes karma, yoga, upasanam, etc. Attention is available totally, but any distraction one can easily, effortlessly see whether the power of reality is unmanifested or manifested. There's always reality is one secondless non-dual reality. There resolves I sense. There resolves this sense. There resolves everything. Everything is resolvable in Brahman. That's why there's no destruction also. Knowledge takes place. The duality being real, reality is falsified and negated as mithya. There's no destruction happens. So it is what Acharya is going to say in his following commentary. Is it clear? What he is going to say, I have already told you. Let us see. Have you made it clear? Okay. Because the whole the commentary here is to negate Purapakshi's view. The knowledge needs to be combined with the karma. And to, because he's a Jnanakam Samuchayavadi, always emphasizes the synthesis of karma and jnanam. That is why he duality is, he has to somehow manage to prove that duality is real. Therefore, this Bhashyam continues here, negating all the views, false views. Okay. So yesterday we saw in deep sleep state, Shastram addresses every one of us as Atma. All of us are essentially one Atma. So in sleep, Shastram says, you are just yourself. Just being one's own self. Just being yourself is being non-dual. Being non-dual is being attributeless, being formless, being fearless, being happy. Being yourself is happiness. Just being yourself is being happy. Being happy is equal to happiness. If you are yourself, you are happiness. So in every day in deep sleep state, you are yourself. Only thing is what? You are yourself not knowing what you are. And you are yourself not knowing you are. Because your own knowing power remains unmanifested. Because the total knowing power remains unmanifested. Therefore, there is Shaktimat Brahma. Therefore, there's no, you are just yourself. That is what is your real nature. That is the absolutely real nature. Satyam. Advaitam Satyam. Because it doesn't go that being non-dual does not undergo any change. Reality is always one secondless non-dual. Ekam Advaitam Advitiyam Advaitam. Brahma. So what is always there is Satyam. But what is incidentally there is Mithya. Because the incidental is non-separate from the absolute. Intrinsic nature. So we saw that in the class. So when the attributes are there, or when Reality is with all attributes. Now I can say you are Brahma with all attributes. Then that's only incidental nature. So jagra svapnyoho cha grahanam viseshaha. In the waking and dream states, there's perception of duality. When there's perception of duality, their attributes are there temporarily, incidentally. Okay, we'll go to the next Bhashyam part, today's class. Now, Acharya makes it very clear. If you see a second thing other than your essential nature, then, and you mistake the second thing to be, there's no second thing. If you see a second thing other than yourself, and you mistake it to be real also, then that becomes, the error causes the fear. Yadhi, are you all with me now? I got the page exactly where you are reading now. Yadhi, we break it, yadhi. Yasya na anya apeksham. Oh, this also we read it yesterday. So in this sentence, Acharya makes very, what is real nature? Yasya na anya apeksham swarupam tattasya tattvam. So that which remains changelessly without requiring anything else to be what it is, that is the nature, that is real. Yada anya apeksham na tattvam. See, to be a knower, to be an enjoyer, and there's a requirement, there's dependence is there. But to be a non-doer, to be a non-enjoyer, you don't require anything. So that which is dependent, which is subject to change, is not the real nature. So in this portion, he explained what is real nature. Real nature is that which does not come and go, which does not change, and which does not require any other condition or action or situation or accessories. Whereas jagra svapnavati na sushupte viseshaha, that part we already read it. So in the waking and dream states, there are attributes. But whereas in deep sleep state, no attributes. There are only attributelessness. So the attributes and the duality, the experience of duality comes and goes. But being non-dual is not an experience, but it's a vision of the fact. So non-duality is the very intrinsic, unchangeable nature of the reality. Being non-dual is intrinsic, unchangeable nature of the reality. And being dual is an incidental, arriving, departing, changing, constantly changing nature of the same reality. So what is incidental, changing, should not be taken as the real nature. It is as though. What is as though being, when it is mistaken for real, then it becomes the cause of problems. Okay. So now we'll see the next page. Today's what I'm going to read. Yesham punaha ishvaraha anyaha atmanaha. Correct? This is what I'm supposed to read today. Yesham punaha ishvaraha anyaha atmanaha. Karyam cha anyate tesham bhaya anivrittihi. Very beautiful. Acharya says very clearly, bhaya anivrittihi. Nivrittihi means elimination. Anivrittihi means what? Non-elimination. There will be non-elimination of fear. For whom? Tesham. Tesham bhaya anivrittihi. Anivrittihi. Okay? Nivrittihi, elimination. Anivrittihi, non-elimination. There will be non-elimination of fear. Bhayasya anivrittihi. Bhaya anivrittihi. Kesham, tesham. Kesham bhaya anivrittihi. Tesham. There will be non-elimination of fear. Means what? There will be fear forever. Okay? Bhaya anivrittihi means that there will be fear forever. For whom? Yesham, those people for whom Ishwaraha Atmanaha Anyaha, for whom Ishwar, the Lord, is other than oneself. Fear will be there definitely forever for those people for whom the Lord Ishwaraha Bhagavan is other than the self. Which means, if a person sees Bhagavan, the Lord, as something which is other than oneself, separate from one, different from oneself. Okay. Ishwaraha anyaha, aham anyaha. Aham Ishwarad anyaha. If a person entertains this duality, the notion of being dual, I am different from the Lord, Lord is different from me, then there will be fear. Okay. So Jiveshwara Bhedaha will result in fear. I tell you, until this portion, before this portion, Acharya Bhagavatpada, Shankar Bhagavatpada explained the importance of the knowledge of the truth. Okay, importance of the knowledge of the truth means he explained, he defended the important, the vision of the Shastram. It is vision of the Shastram is that reality is non-dual. So it is not a source of fear. Understand? But now, if we do not accept, understand the vision of the Shastram, if we do not accept the teaching, and we still continue to say that duality is real, then what will be the consequence? Okay? Now, having explained the importance of the knowledge, now Acharya is going to explain the consequence of mistaking the duality for reality. What the consequence? Yesham Ishwaraha Punaha, again, Yesham Ishwaraha Atmanaha Anyaha, those people for whom Bhagavan Ishwara is other than oneself, Tesham Bhaya Anivrittihi, there will be non-elimination of fear for those people, which means there will be fear forever. Then, Karyam cha yesham atmanaha anyat. Karyam here means the universe. Okay, Karyam means the product, the creation, the universe. The Karyam stands for the created universe. Again, for people for whom the universe is other than the self, Tesham Bhaya Anivrittihi. So as long as one sees oneself being isolated from the world, one sees separate from Ishwara, as long as one sees Ishwara to be other than oneself, as long as one sees the world to be other than oneself, okay, means there is now what? I am different from the Ishwara, I am different from the world. The world is different from me, Ishwara is different from me. Now, okay, we say what? Jiva Jagat Ishwara Bhedaha. As long as one sees this Jiva Jagat Ishwara Bheda, I am an individual. I'm different from Ishvara. Ishvara is different from me. I'm individual, different from the rest of the world. The world is different from me. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Bhedaha. As long as this difference is there, Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Bheda is there, which means as there is the world of duality is very real for the person. So long will there be fear. There's no way of resolving fear at all. Fear is there, okay? There's no way of resolving the fear. Okay. Yesham punaha, Ishwaraha, Atmanaha, Anyaha, Y karyam cha, Jagat cha, Atmanaha, Anyat, Iti, Asti, Tesham, Bhaya, Anivrittihi. Got it? So what does it mean now? Therefore, only in the wake of the clear vision of the essential nature of the self, only clear, in the wake of the clear vision of the reality being one, secondless, non-dual, in the wake of the knowledge of the reality, in the wake of knowledge of the reality, when a person see, from the standpoint of the truth of Jiva Jagadishwara, when a person sees oneness, secondlessness, non-duality, when a person understands, I am non-separate from the Lord, Lord is non-separate from me, Ishvara is myself. When a person understands, Jagat is non-separate from Ishvara, which Ishvara is myself. When a person sees Jiva Jagat Ishvara Bheda being not there, only then there will not be fear. When a person resolves this Jiva Jagat Ishvara Bheda, there will be fearlessness. As long as a person sees this Jiva Jagat Ishvara Bheda, there will be fear. The difference. The difference must be resolved by resolving the duality. How? By discovering the oneness of the three being one's own self. The truth of the oneness. Oneness of the truth, isn't it? So, bhayasya anya nimittatvat. Now, Acharya makes very clear why there is bhayam. Why there is fear? The phenomenon called fear exists purely because of seeing another thing as real thing. Anya nimittatvat. Anya nimitt, fear has the status of being caused by a second thing. Fear has a status of being caused by a second thing. Bhayasya anyam nimittattvam asti. Sataha cha anyasya atmahana anupapattihi. See, sataha cha, this is what I'm saying, I explained this already. Sataha cha anyasya atmahana anupapattihi. See, atmahanam means self-destruction. Atmahanam means destruction. Hanti, destroys, kills. Atmahanam, self-killing, self-destruction. Anyasya atmahana anupapattihi. Sataha cha anyasya atmahana anupatti. What it says is, the real, it is impossible for the reality to cause self-destruction. Reality's nature being what it is, the self-destruction is not possible for the reality. It is not possible for the reality to cause destruction of anything else also. Why? There's no second thing. Understand? Anyasya. Sataha atmahana anupapattihi means The reality cannot cause the self-destruction of itself. Then, anyasyacha, it cannot cause destruction of anything, second thing also, because it's a second thing other than the self. This is what I explained as earlier. Water cannot destroy itself. Water need not destroy itself. Water need not destroy, cannot destroy the wave also, because wave is its own self. Again, nacha asataha atmalabhaha. Even the, just as wave cannot create itself, which is not really there, the duality cannot, you know, originate by itself. Duality cannot originate by itself. It cannot exist by itself. It cannot, because it is not really there. It's only appearance. Nacha asataha atmalabaha. So what Bhagavad Pada wants to say here is, absolutely, what is one secondless non-dual reality, and which cannot destroy itself, nor can destroy anything else, and that which is as though non-real also cannot originate itself or destroy itself, cannot come into existence by itself. Therefore, bhayasya anyaimittattvam asti. The fear is unnecessary. The fear is purely because of seeing anything other than oneself as reality. Seeing a second thing is the cause of the fear. Seeing a second thing means what? Mistaking the duality to be the reality is the cause of fear. So, non-dual reality is not the cause of fear. The ignorance of the non-dual reality does not cause fear. Perception of duality does not cause fear. But mistaking the duality to be the reality is the cause of fear. Understand? Therefore, what he says, yesham punaha ishvaraha atmanaha anyaha karyam cha anyat tesham bhaya anivrittihi bhayasya anyanimittattvam asti. The fear is purely because of seeing a second thing. What causes the fear is seeing anything other than oneself. Seeing there's a world which is separate from me, other than me. I am different from the world. Means you see world as a second thing other than you. You don't include, there's no inclusiveness. There's exclusiveness. In exclusion, in excluding oneself from the world, there is fear. Then why you exclude yourself from the world? Because you exclude yourself from Ishvara. If you include, there's no inclusion, exclusion. You see the oneness of Ishvara and you. You see yourself being non-separate from Ishvara. Ishvara being non-separate from yourself. On the standpoint of seeing yourself being non-separate from Ishvara, you must be able to see the Jagat being non-separate from Ishvara. Ishvara being non-separate from Jagat, and ultimately you must see there's no Ishvara other than Brahma. What is there's only Brahma. This is how Jiva Jagat Ishvara Bheda has been resolved. Bhedaha Bhayakaranam. Bhayasya Karanam Bhedaha. So the difference has to be resolved. Difference is not there really. Difference is only in your perception. Clear? We'll go to next sentence. Okay. Now, Pura Pakshi now feels very helpless. Oh my God. How can we establish this? Like somehow he is not able to. No, jnanam alone is enough. Somehow karma has been combined for him. Therefore, he has to give something else. Now he says, why? He said, what's the reason now? Now, poor Pakshi doesn't ask the question. He only reveals his understanding in the form of a doubt. Look at this. Is it okay to say punya, the papams cause the fear? His A is okay. What you want to say, let me not say we have to, what the Purupakshi says, the duality need not be negated. He doesn't like the negation of duality at all. He wants to retain the dual because I'm perceiving. It's very difficult to say duality is not there. Because all the time I'm experiencing duality, how is it possible for me to say duality is not there? Duality is there, duality is real. So Ishvara also is there. Ishvara, oh, how can you say Ishvara is not there? Again, that's a problem. God-fearing, isn't it? Ishvara also is there. Ishvara is there, duality is there, and I am different from Ishvara, duality. Even different from the Jagat, duality is real. So plurality is also real. Then what causes the fear then, which is unpleasant, undesirable fear? Fear is caused by the punyam, the papam one has accumulated as a result of wrong actions. So he wants to say this. Look at this. But the Acharya sentence, the Purupakshi, the sentence is not very explicit. He says, Sapekshasya Anyasya Bhayahetutvam. Bhayahetutvam means what? Sapekshasya Anyasya Bhayahetutvam. The two things. What causes the fear actually is the papam one has accumulated causes the fear. We can include punyam also, okay? Because it's the punya papam only brings one into the life of samsara. So punya papams one has accumulated as results of actions retains a person in samsara becomes the cause of fear. But punya papams are results of actions. The results of actions are ordained by Bhagavan, therefore, Bhagavan, who is always said to be Karma Phaladata, ordainer, bestower of results of actions, is indirectly becomes cause of fear. Ishvara causes the fear indirectly by remaining as an ordainer of results of actions. The punya papams and the punya papam which we accumulate alone is the cause of the fear. So he says the word sapekshaha means anya. The word anya shabda stands for punya papam. Sape shabda stands for Ishvara. Okay, Ishvara causes fear indirectly. How? By remaining as order of punya papam. Anya shabda stands for punya papam. The punya papam. See, how do you know what anya means other? How do you understand the meaning of the word anya as punya papam? Anyasya bhayahetutvam asti. Anyasya means what? Punya papa. Punya papa karma phalanam bhayahetutvam asti. The punya papas have the status of being the cause of the fear. And because punya papas are ordained by Bhagavan, Bhagavan does not become the cause of fear. Bhagavan is dependent on punya papas to cause fear. Bhagavan ordains punya papams, and by ordaining punya papam, Bhagavan causes the fear. Understand? So Ishvara is the cause of the fear. But Ishvara, how does Ishvara cause the fear? By ordaining punya papams, the results of actions. Therefore, results of actions in terms of punya papams become the cause of fear. And process of actions cannot happen by themselves. And the order of results of actions is Ishvara. There is Ishvara being an order of punya papams, ordering punya papams causes the fear. Is it clear? This is what he says. Oh my God. Already it was explained. Seeing a second thing as reality is the cause of the fear. Dvaita mithya dvaita prapancha be mistaken for satyam is the cause of the fear. You can see the world, the mithya dvaita prapancha, the world of duality being non-real, mithya, can be understood only when you understand the world being non-separate from Ishvara. And one should see oneself being non-separate from Ishvara. That Ishvara being one's own self. Ishvara is none other than the very self. Thereby one should see the universe being non-separate from oneself. There's no second thing other than oneself. Therefore there's no fear. There's been explained. But still now he says, duality is real. Ishvara is there. Jiva Ishvara Bheda is real. Jiva Jiva Bheda is real. All divisions are real. All differences are real. But what causes the fear is actually the punya papams one has accumulated as a result of actions. Now Shankaracharya says, answer, he comes with the answer. What's the answer? Na tasya pituliyat na na. No. Punya papams cannot be the cause of the fear. Cannot cause fear. Punyam or papam cannot cause fear. Definitely Ishvara is not the source of fear. Ishvara cannot cause the fear. Does not cause fear. You know why? If you say Ishvara causes fear, it is you yourself causing fear for yourself. And then, if you say Punya Papam causes fear, what is Punya Papam? Tasya api tulyatvat. Tulyatvam means what? It's also similar. It also has a state of being equally applicable. In the sense, what? It also cannot cause any fear. Let me make it very clear. In the following sentence he says, Yad dharmat dharmadi anyat. See the next sentence now. Dharmadi anyat. In the answer Shankaracharya makes it very clear. Dharmadi anyat. The dharma shabda stands for punyam. Adi shabda stands for papam. Dharmadi anyat yad. That which is there as punya papam. And sahayi bhutam. The punya papam one has earned becomes what? Helpful for Bhagavan. Okay? To harden, cause pain. Which is nityam anityam va. Nityam anityam va. Nimittam apekshya. Anyat bhayakaranam syat. Tasya api tata bhutasya atmahana bhavat bhaya anivrittihi. He says, dharmadi anyat sahayi bhutam nityam anityam va. Nimittam akpeksha anyat bhayat karanam syat. Tasyapi tata bhutasya atmahana bhavat bhaya anivrittihi. The first, until syat, he repeats Purupakshi's view. If punya papams are taken to be the cause of fear, the punya papams are nityam or anityam. whether the punya bhams are timeless or only time bound, still nimittam apeksha anyat bhayakaranam syat. If at all we say the time bound or timeless, the punya papams, and which become supportive for Ishvara to ordain, to cast fear, even then, tata bhotasya atmahana abhavat bhaya anivrittihi. Even then, what is tata bhotasya means? Even then, what about punya papam? Please understand, is punya papam real or unreal? Mithatyam or mithya? Other than Brahmatma, everything is mithya. What a punya papam? Punya papam also is mithya. Isn't it? See, here in this portion, the sentences are not very clear. But then they claim the sense what? They are all very explicitly not said. So I'm going to make many sentences and send it to you. Punya papams are not. Punya papam also is mithya. Punyam is mithya, papam is mithya. In fact, really speaking, sanchita karma, agami karma, paradha karma, all these are mithya. Atma never has any sanchita karma, agami karma, even paradha karma also. There's no enjoyership at all. How can there be karma? If Atma is the enjoyer of punya papams, then we can say Atma has paradha karma, sanchita karma, agami karma. Atma is ever free from any punya papam. That is, you say shuddha, nityaha. We say shuddha Atma means what? Atma is ever free from all blemishes. Free from all punya papams. Atma has never has any. Brahmatma is always free from sanchita karma, agami karma, paradha karma, no karma, because Atma is free from enjoyership. Because Atma is free from doership. Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Therefore, Atma has no punya papam. Therefore, punya papams are not real. They're mithya. If you talk about punya papams are mithya, they're not real. So, mithya punya papam, see, mithya punya papam, the fear is our fear of being destructible, isn't it? The fear is always caused by the fear is of being destroyed. Fear is always of being the destructible, isn't it? Therefore, here, what he says, tatha bhutasya atmahana abhavat bhaya anivrittihi. So, punya papams are mithya. The mithya punya papams cannot be the cause of fear. Mithya punya papams cannot be the cause of fear. In fact, punya papams are not there for Atma. Mithya, there's no punyam, there's no papam outside of Atma. So, Vedanta Shastram, in the beginning, for the sake of uplifting ordinary people, the sake of uplifting all the ordinary people, Shastram talks about Sanchita Karma, Agami Karma, you know, Paradha Karma, and we say Sanchita Karma become completely, when the person attains Jnanam, Sanchita Karma should be resolved for good. Agami karma will be resolved for good. Even the paradha karma is exhausted by a jnani, not by himself, by the body mind's complex of the jnani. This is how all the karmas become resolved for good. Then a person attains videha mukti. Where attaining mukti? When is Atma bound for Atma to become free? Atma never remains bound, never becomes bound. Atma is never bound, ever free, nitya muktaha. Ever free Atma need not become free, cannot become free. Atma is ever free from bondage, ever free from samsara, ever free from punya papams, ever free from sanchita agami parabdha karmas, never bound. Therefore, it cannot become free, need not become free, because ever free. This non-dual reality is ever free. And all these punya papams, etc., are only mithya. Or relative. Absolutely, there is no punya or papam. Therefore, even punya papams also, mithya means what? Anything mithya cannot come into existence by itself. Mithya means as though. Anything which is as though, always here meant by the word asat. Anything mithya cannot come into existence by itself, nor can it destroy itself. Anything mithya cannot have self-origination, cannot have self-destruction, because it is mithya. There's no punya papam, therefore there's no way of getting rid of punya papam. Understand? So what Acharya says here, if punya papams are mistaken to be, if punya papams are said to be the cause of fear, and Ishvara, the order of punya papam, is said to be the inner cause of the fear, I tell you, punya papams are not even real. They're not even there. How can the punya papams become the cause of fear? If punya papams become the cause of the fear, and they must be real. If we no, punya papams are real, if we say, what problem will be there? Sadasataha atmahaneva sadasataha itaretara. Itaretara apattav sarvatra anashvasaha eva. See, itaretara apattihi means mutually, two things mutually becoming each other. One becoming the other is called itaretara apattihi. So if real becomes unreal, unreal becomes real, it's called itaretara apattihi. If we say real becomes unreal and unreal becomes real, then what happens? Sarvatra anashvasaha eva. There will be only anashvasaha. Anashvasaha means, ashvasaha means there is be peace. Anashvasaha means there will be restlessness, implying confusion. Sarvatra anashvasaha eva. There will be only confusion if we say real becomes the unreal, unreal becomes the real. Sat asatoho itaretara apato. When sat becomes real, asat, asat becomes sat. When there is mutual change of sat and asat from being real to the unreal, from being unreal to the real, there will be only confusion. Which means, punya papams are not real. They're also mithya. Like how the world of duality is mithya, all experiences are mithya, the punya papams are also mithya. So anything mithya cannot originate, create itself, cannot destroy itself, because it's not even there. Nor can Satyam create the Mithya also. Satyam does not, cannot create Mithya. Mithya cannot create itself or destroy itself. Nor can Satyam destroy the Mithya. There is no such thing called destruction at all of anything. It is destruction which causes the fear. The fear is caused by the notion of being destructible. Therefore, there's no need for fear at all. The only thing what we need to do and understand is what is absolutely real nature. Indestructibility is the absolutely real nature of the Atma. There's no total destruction of anything here. Because there's no creation of anything, there's no destruction of anything. Absolutely intrinsic nature is absolutely indestructible. Relatively incidental nature is relatively destructible, which is relative destruction is a change. The change relative in terms of relative destruction happens of the intrinsic attributes, intrinsic, sorry, relatively incidental duality. And for which substratum is what? Non-dual reality, which is absolutely indestructible. There's absolutely indestructible one-secondless non-dual reality in which the relative destruction of the incidental nature in terms of duality happens. Does it make sense? This portion of the Bhashyam, I'll explain again to you. I'll explain again. Okay? Before that, what I said, Sapekshasya Anyasya Bhayahetutvam iti, that the Pura Pakshi doesn't want to accept, okay, duality being, to be the reality, mithya. See, wanting to hold on to his view that duality is real, but he wants to give a different reason for why there is fear. How can there be fear? The fear is caused by the erroneous perception of the duality to be the reality. But he says, fear is caused by seeing a second thing. Shastram repeatedly says, seeing a second thing other than the self, dvaitadhi bhayam bhavati. If you see a second thing other than yourself, then there is fear. As long as you do not see what you are, and you see yourself for something, when you see yourself as something other than what you are, you will see the second thing. When you see a second thing, there will be fear. So when you see yourself being something other than what you are, then naturally you see yourself being different from Ishvara. You see Ishvara being different from you, there'll be fear. Then you see the Jagat to be other than you. You alienate the Jagat, alienate yourself from the Jagat, and then there's fear. It is the difference, the perception of difference, be mistaken to be real, is the cause of fear. The differences being mithya should be understood. For which one has to see what is absolutely real, being non-dual reality. So I'm stop here. The Bhagavad Pada's answer, na tasyapi tulyatvat. I did start explaining this, but I'll do it again next class. Okay? Remember this part. At least now you know punya papams do not cause fear. That much you must remember. Om
पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ओं तत्सत्। श्रीभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम्।